Was A Quiet Place inspired by Signs, It Comes at Night, and War for the Planet of the Apes? Was Ready Player One influenced by Avatar, Wreck-It Ralph, and The Last Starfighter? Is The Hurricane Heist more influenced by Sharknado or Geostorm? These are the kinds of questions my guest co-hosts and I discuss on my podcast, Piecing It Together. Every week, we look at a new movie and try to figure out what other movies inspired it, whether it's the story, the character development, tone, or even use of music. Every movie was influenced by something that came before it, and we want to figure out what. Check out Piecing It Together on your favorite podcast app or check us out on piecingpod.com. You can also follow us on social media at piecingpod. Piecing It Together is a part of the All Points West Podcast Network.
Hello, everybody. It's Les Kirkendall Barrett, and you are here for another episode of A Lifetime with Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel, and we actually try to make sense of them. Hello, Jason Bowers.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett and Jason Bowers.
Well, it's another week. Kurt and I are back in our respective states. I'm back in California. Kurt is back in New Jersey. Jason's still in California. But I actually leave tomorrow.
Where are you headed now?
Tomorrow I'm headed to the Halifax Fringe Festival in Nova Scotia.
That's right.
So I will be there for 10 days, and then my tour is done.
Woo! Just like Cher.
Right?
Not
exactly.
Really.
Exactly.
Oh, no, he's not done like Cher.
Well, I mean, like, maybe it'll keep continuing. Keep, we don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to keep going. Yeah. Yes, right. We are safe. We are miles from that Indianapolis Museum of Art, or whatever they call it now.
Miles.
Talk about that. I'm going to get my water. I left it on the other.
Whatever that hunk of crap museum is called, we're miles away. Miles away. And I'm sure the museum in Halifax is going to be absolutely lovely.
Ooh. You'll have to let us know.
I sure will.
And well, I'll tell you.
I cannot believe that, like, Labor Day is this weekend.
That's crazy.
Isn't it nuts? And I realized that I've been traveling since May. Like, I've been gone the entire summer.
Wow.
Good thing that it doesn't get cold here until like November, because I need to make up some beach time.
Well, it's just starting to get real warm here.
Oh yeah.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. LA,
starting to cool off here.
Our summer doesn't really kick in till mid-August, and then September is generally our hottest month.
Right.
And then it starts to cool off in early October, okay. But we usually get 1 or 2 days of ungodly heat in October.
Right. And then it's normally warm for Halloween, so then you could wear your sexy costume.
Oh, good.
And not freeze to death.
Yes.
Which, by the way, boys and girls, if you want to wear that sexy costume on Halloween, start working out now. Mm-hmm. Now is the time that you go on that keto, that Atkins, or whatever you're doing, start now.
Keto.
But
yeah,
the keto.
Keto diet.
I don't know what that is.
That's a big one. It's basically you're putting your body into ketosis so that it's burning fat and not storing sugar.
Yes.
Huh. Okay. I think that Billy Bob Thornton, I read once he was on the orange diet. He only ate orange things.
That's gross.
So he ate, like, oranges and, like, orange gumdrops.
Carrots? Does that count? Carrots?
Carrots, yeah.
Pumpkin.
Eat orange thing.
Orange Tic Tacs.
Pumpkin, yeah. Orange Tic Tacs.
Julius? Could he have a good Julius from time to time?
If it's orange.
Yeah, orange
right.
Julius.
It's allowed in the diet.
Anyway, gentlemen, I heard a rumor that we have some Blac Chyna news.
Oh, we do?
Oh, man.
Oh, and now, it's time for the Blac Chyna Report. Here's Kurt Fitzpatrick.
Well, I don't even know where to begin. Blac Chyna has really delivered. She delivers all the time, but she really delivered. Last night, last night for us was the VMAs, which and the big news, this is from People Magazine Online, is that Blac Chyna wears same feathery mini dress Kylie Jenner wore on her birthday to the MTV VMAs.
Ooh.
How about that? But there's another news story that came out of the VMAs.
I have a question about that. Are they saying Kylie wore that last night as well? Or you're saying Blac Chyna wore it to the VMAs and Kylie had worn it at another time?
Yeah, Blac Chyna wore the dress last night, a dress, an outfit that was previously worn by Kylie Jenner.
Okay. Ooh.
Okay.
It was a strapless mini dress with glamorous waves, a diamond necklace, teardrop earrings, and matching pink pumps.
Oh.
Jenner, meanwhile, donned the pink mini earlier this month as she celebrated her birthday in Italy.
Hmm. Hmm. Who wore it better?
I don't know. I can't be a judge on that. But here's the news story I like. I got this I've used this source before. This is from hotnewhiphop.com.
Oh, yeah. And I think their source,
Google. Yeah. But their source is also Us Weekly. So here it is. Blac Chyna demanded pizza and got into it with a fan at VMAs before leaving. Okay. Blac Chyna's evening at the VMAs went left for not only for her, but for one of her fans. I don't really understand that, but okay. According to Us Weekly, Blac Chyna threw a fit at the MTV VMAs before damn near getting into it with a fan. Sources claim the model was complaining and yelling about pizza at a Spike Italian Lemonade concession stand because she was hungry. I'm hungry. I'm starving. I've been starving all week, actually, she allegedly said. However, she was apparently yelling that while eating chicken fingers. Things got even worse shortly after. As you know, all the stars come out during the VMAs, and it's truly one of the few moments their fans can actually see them in person. Blac Chyna, who is admittedly hangry, was approached by a star-struck fan who was trying to get a picture. However, as seen during her trip to Six Flags, I don't even know about that, Blac Chyna isn't afraid to throw down. Thankfully, the argument seemed to stay in a verbal space. I guess there's more, but I think that's pretty much hits the point.
Well, first of all, I love that she was eating chicken fingers and yelling for pizza.
Well, she went several courses.
But the Magic Mountain incident was, I think it was last year, she had her little baby with her and her entourage, and she got in. Someone was trying to take a picture of her baby at Six Flags, and she totally got in a fist fight with them.
I don't blame her. She's protecting her kid, and I actually, I don't know for sure what happened last night at the VMAs, but I feel like if she's there and she's chatting to the girl at the chicken fingers stand or whatever it is, she probably wasn't shouting. It's probably loud because there's performances going on inside the Prudential Center. She's probably just speaking at a level of volume so that she could be heard. She's probably just saying like, hey, where do I get some pizza here? I'm hungry.
Right. It says at the same time, an overzealous fan who was trying to get a picture with Chyna came back to bother her, the eyewitness said. The situation escalated quickly into a fight as Chyna didn't want to take the picture. Chyna and the fan were yelling at each other.
Well, I gotta say, living in LA, I've witnessed some fan encounters with celebrities where the fan is being an absolute jerk.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
You know, I've witnessed that several times. So I kind of get where Chyna's coming from.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. I am Team Chyna in this instance.
Me too.
Oh, yeah. Me too. As the Walter Cronkite of Chyna, Blac Chyna, I take her side.
Well, I actually have a little Lori Loughlin news.
Ooh, hold on. Ooh. And now, it's time for the Loughlin Report. Here's Les Kirkendall Barrett.
So, we all know that the Lori Loughlin trial is just around the corner, the Varsity Blues trial. I think it's like this, it's in a few weeks, yeah. actually. And so Lori Loughlin and her husband went to court in Boston today because they want to use the same lawyer, but the lawyer on the other side was saying it was a conflict of interest. And so they went to go and, you know, see if they could get permission to use the same lawyer. So they have been granted permission to use the same lawyer.
I don't understand why that's a conflict of interest if they're a married couple.
Right.
I can see if they wanted the same law firm to represent them as whoever's defending the colleges or whoever's doing the suing. I don't even know how this works. It doesn't seem like it's a conflict of interest if they're both on the same side.
Right.
The husband and wife want the same lawyer.
Right.
Yeah, that seems odd.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed odd to me, too. And it was granted they can use the same, you know, they can use the same lawyer. But
it's
you know, Lori, it's heating up. The time is here.
I'm wondering if they're being tried in separate charges. Like, even though the charges might be the same, they might be individually charged. So there might be one person prosecuting Lori's case, another person prosecuting Massimo's, and they're worried that, like, oh, whatever information is being shared with Massimo's lawyer because of they have to share their documents and whatnot, that would then get shared with Lori's lawyer when it might not technically be pertinent.
Right. And it makes perfect sense that they'd want to split them up, you know, so they can't
conquer.
Right. So they can't, and they can't corroborate their stories and stuff. But, you know, they're probably
they have a united front.
Exactly.
United front. So when is the trial?
I don't have the exact date, but it's like soon. It's this month.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So stay tuned, everyone, because things are about to get hot.
Yeah. We should have some special episodes. Maybe like one of us could go to the courthouse and get some interviews or something.
I wish. I wish.
I get right on that. Live there.
You know, I can. Okay. It's in Boston anyway, right? Isn't the trial in Boston?
Oh, it's in Boston? That means I have to go. Well, maybe I will.
Or is it in Boston? You know, I'm not sure if it's in Boston. Like, I know they had to go to Boston to get this permission stuff.
Oh.
So I don't know if the actual trial is in Boston, because it's basically universities from around the country, right?
Yeah, because we've got USC. Their thing is USC.
Right.
But it probably depends on where the charges were filed, depending on where the criminal activity actually took place.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of activity, we have a movie to talk about.
Oh, do we?
Christmas with a Prince.
Christmas now, with Prince.
Hop, now, before hop we fang, start,
Bally 21. Hop
my
bang.
Comment is: this is, I think, the most ethnically diverse movie I have ever seen on this channel. Seriously.
Well, I think that sets diversity back by about 20 years. Then. This is a poor example of what That's can rough. Happen when casting is blind to race.
Right. Okay. Ooh. Okay. So let's get
I spent
started.
A lot of time watching the spent a lot of time watching the clock on this one. Let's see. 5 minutes left. I got 4 minutes left. 3 minutes left.
And then this one, it was a tricky one because I would think it's dumb, and then something would happen to like reel me in, and then it got dumb again. Like we'll get in.
Oh, see, I felt the opposite. I felt like this is kind of dumb, and I'm like, it's worse than I thought. Oh, it's really worse than I thought. I'm going to tell you about this now because I texted you guys about this last night. So there is a moment in the movie. It's a line of dialogue that the prince utters Yes, there's a prince in this movie. It's in the title. A line of dialogue that he utters that I made a face that as I made the face, I'm like, I should take a photo of this because I know that it looks disgusted right now. I took a photo. I sent it to you. I'm going to post it on Instagram. So make sure you have your Instagram open as you listen to today's podcast so that you will see my face when this line is uttered, when we get to that in the show.
And I saw that picture before I even started watching the movie, so I was like, uh-oh.
Do you think know what line of dialogue it was that I made that face at?
Oh, God. There's several options.
It's towards the end. Final third. Final third. Okay. Something the prince says.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. I don't know. Well, first of all, I was trying to determine, I guess we could get into this, I was thinking, which guys do you think are hot? I was wondering if you guys thought the prince was hot.
He was hot.
The prince had a great body, but those eyebrows were way too groomed.
Yeah.
The eyes were weird, yeah.
But his body, yeah, they actually showed him shirtless at one point, and I was like, whoa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the brother was kind of cute, but they had him in a Santa suit the entire time, so I couldn't tell if he was hot or not.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
I thought the main woman was really hot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's very attractive.
Yeah, I did.
Tasha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we start, we see a bunch of snow. So much snow that I wrote, it looks like Narnia. And and then, we see a ski lodge. People are skiing. And then we just see a shot of someone skiing, but it's not going well. And the person
they're skiing through the woods.
Yeah. And they're kind of out of control. They're in trouble. And so then we are in, a bathroom or a locker room or something, and Prince Alexander is filming himself, and he's talking about how he got hurt.
He's not just filming; he's like douchey social media posting.
Okay, yeah,
yeah.
So he's like Snapchatting or whatever.
Not that all social media posting is douchey, but this was like clearly Instagram influencer culture, like. She like, hey, I broke my leg, but I'm going to put it on social media right now.
Right. So then we cut to a hospital, and you know, you see, it's obvious that it's a pediatrics ward, and the kids are sick. And then we see this guy, two doctors, and they're both doing surgery. And they're talking while they're doing surgery, and then they start bickering while they're doing surgery.
But it's very intense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we find out that they're actually doing surgery on a teddy bear. They're fixing a teddy bear.
Right. And one's a doctor, one's a nurse.
Right.
And they're brother and sister.
Right.
The sister is the doctor.
It's like presenters on an awards show. She's a doctor, he's a nurse, and they're related.
Wah, 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 wow. Wah, 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 wah.
There's a pitch. Hey, somebody bought it.
Yeah, then Hallmark did.
And then I wrote because it was one of the reasons why I said that this was ethnically, like the most ethnically diverse movie that I had ever seen was because the doctor, I think she was Asian.
Yeah,
I
she
believe.
Looked half Asian. Yeah,
yeah, and so they threw in the line, and the brother was not Asian, so they threw in the line, "You're my half sister."
Yeah, and I actually as somebody that is mixed race, I loved that it was a simple throwaway. They didn't need to make a huge plot point about the race. They can simply explain the casting away by like, "Hey, yeah, you know, sometimes people have different parents."
Right, and I like that too. I like that too. That it was just a throwaway line, and it was done. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we find out that the brother got a phone call, and they want he's actually friends with the prince. And so they want the prince to go to the hospital, but they want to hide him while he's in the hospital. Mm-hmm. And so the brother volunteered the pediatrics ward. And
but he volunteered there? Or he thought he worked there as a nurse.
No. He volunteered, like, hey, you can stay in the pediatrics.
Or, yeah, here's an idea for you. Let me see if I can make this happen.
Oh, right. Oh, I see.
And so she wasn't too happy about it. And then the sassy head doctor, Dr. Gonzalez, shows up. And this is where I wrote, okay, Dr. Gonzalez did give good shade.
She was pissed.
And they're talking, and she throws out some shady lines, and this is where we find out the brother's a nurse.
Well, the first thing she says is, she's like, we got funding for everything that you need. Really? No. That was kind of mean.
She was a straight-up a-hole.
Right.
Yeah, it was a mean thing to do.
I did enjoy her shade, though. So then we get more information about how basically the doctor, Tasha and the prince went to boarding school together. And, something went down at the boarding school. And so she was pissed, and so she's still pissed. But then she's in the elevator, and she's talking to these people in the elevator, and we find out that she actually, even though she's pretending to be pissed, she is pissed, but she has a crush on him.
Those people in the elevator look frightened, like their eyes were popping out of their heads.
Oh, my God, I wrote the same thing. I wrote, the girls looked freaked out.
They were. I thought they were like just these overacting extras, but they actually had
they had
roles. And that candy striper woman or whatever she is, I was very intrigued with the trajectory of her character.
Right.
At this point in the movie, I had already written down, this is the most convoluted Hallmark movie ever.
It was very convoluted.
It was like it took so much exposition for a premise that wasn't that didn't really warrant it.
Because
he's got to stay in the hospital because he's hiding out, but he wasn't really hiding out because he would pose for photos with the kids and stuff like that, and everyone knew that he was staying there anyway, and the chief of medicine's going around blabbing about him staying there. Like, there was no reason why the concept of him staying there because it was a secret. They didn't need that aspect. He could have just been at the hospital.
Sorry, Kurt.
Well, no, when he's broadcast. But when they're in, when the two ladies are in the restaurant later, it's like being broadcast. And I don't think they say anything, because they don't say anything on there about him being in that hospital at that point.
But they knew that he was
injured.
Remember,
her friend doesn't know what's going on.
They knew that he was injured. So So why are you hiding him? If everyone in the world knows he's injured, then why are you even hiding him away? Who the hell cares?
Right.
Oh, you don't think they should? Okay.
Well, I don't see it on social media.
And he posted on social media about it. The entire world knew that he broke his leg or whatever. It'd be one thing if they were trying to hide some sort of, fatal disease, or if he got like an STD or something, but he broke his leg and everyone knew. Why is it a secret?
Right.
We have to hide the prince in the pediatrics ward. He has crabs.
This is what I felt like. I felt like, basically, to me, it seemed like they would write a bit and get notes, and then they would follow the notes. It seemed like they were getting notes throughout the movie.
Yeah, it absolutely felt written by committee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a note. This sucks. All right, that's bad.
So the personal assistant shows up, right? She's very serious. She's very serious.
Mm. I thought she was hot too.
And then they're talking about making changes to the pediatric ward because to accommodate the prince. But the doctor walks in. The doctor walks in while they're Skyping the king, King Edward. King Edward, who is Mr. Sheffield from The Nanny. But most importantly, before he was Mr. Sheffield on The Nanny, he was secret agent Shane Donovan on Days of Our Lives.
Wow.
Indeed.
And he played a split role, Shane Donovan and his twin, Drew. Anyway.
For a while.
So basically, they're Skyping, and the king says, yeah, he wants them to relocate the kids because he doesn't want the son to get sick. And Tasha's like, no, this is not happening. She's very sassy about it.
He literally asks, he didn't want to move the son. He said, can we move the other patient? He wanted everyone else in that hospital who was there for actual regular medical care, not laying there waiting for his leg to heal. He wanted these children to move to another part of the hospital.
And most of these children, because they even said it, were like cancer kids.
Yeah.
They were. They had cancer.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
He wanted to move little cancer kids.
For the contrast for comedy's sake, it was mean. It was super mean.
Right.
And could you imagine if anybody found out, if anybody like in the press found out that the king threw out a bunch of kids with cancer?
Yeah.
Horrible. How would you recover from that?
Not just king from another country.
Right. Well.
What country is it?
Well, they were kind of speaking Russian.
Russian?
What?
Oh, it's the king of Russia.
Well, no, because remember the one part which we'll get into, where someone was being shady and speaking Russian in front of her and she knew the language.
Oh, well, she was a princess from somewhere else, though.
And they're saying spasiba, which is Russian.
But they didn't. They had a British accent. They were vaguely British.
Well,
but that's my point. Accent. Is whatever they weren't from whatever country this movie was set in. I'm guessing either the U.S. or Canada.
Right.
No, it was in the U.S.
How do you know?
It was supposed to be the U.S. What?
How do you know that? Did they ever say?
It was mentioned. It was because they said something like the king was talking to the prince at one point in a conversation. He's like, "You're in a U.S." He said something about him being in some kind of like U.S. hospital.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Well, even though they are in America, they definitely shot this in Canada because I did hear a bunch of sorries.
Yeah, I heard a boot.
Sorry.
The main character heard her. I heard a boot towards the end of the movie.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
A boot.
They
should be sorry. The king. Okay. The king's insulting too. He says that she has the brains and not Nurse Jeff. Nurse Jeff is a dum-dum.
Right. So then we see the prince and he's shirtless and he's on crutches, and now that was good.
Yeah.
Fantastic abs. Fantastic. So then Tasha walks in, and the prince is like, excuse me, have we met? And she gets pissed because they went to boarding school together, and then he's like, I'm just king. I know who you are. And then they kind of banter back and forth. And then she's doing a checkup, with him, and the little kids are, like, spying, and he invites the little kids in. And one little kid's they're saying he's a prince, and they're introducing themselves. And one little kid is like, "Well, if you die, can I keep your crown?"
And he says, "Yes."
He says, "Yes."
He promised that child his crown.
Well, what's he gonna care? I'll be dead.
So
take my castle. I don't care.
Right.
This will destroy the hierarchy.
So next, she's at lunch with her friend Rosa.
Right.
And she tells
Rosa's a quicker picker-upper.
Right. That's Rosie.
Oh, that's different. Okay.
So she's telling her friend, like, you know, she knows how she knows the prince, and you know, they all went to boarding school together. Her brother and the prince were actually good friends, and they fell out of touch until the prince's brother died.
I see dead people. I see dead people.
Sorry, I used to double clicking on things with my finger.
It's so nice. It was said twice.
Yeah.
But I like that they're... Sorry.
I know, I was going to say, she said... she explained what happened. Did you not get to that yet? She said that she had asked the prince out on a date.
Right.
And the prince said,
no. Said, no.
And that was pretty much it. But then the friend needed to know. She was like, you need to tell me all the details. I need to spend the night at your house.
Right.
Which indicates to me that either she doesn't have a home or house is being painted. She's in between places. Because it was weird. Like, why would that justify her staying at her home for the night? What more else is there to say of that story?
Well, maybe they want to get drunk.
Yeah, I thought that there was going to be some, not scene with them getting drunk, because it's a Hallmark movie. They'll show them drink, but not actually the consequences of that. But thought it was going to be something made the news because of the two of them being out together. Because there was a weird thing at the table. And I didn't rewind it, but as they were setting pastries down on the table, as they were sitting there eating, it was like a close-up of the table, and I didn't know if that was supposed to be someone swiping something from the table, or... Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but that comes up later. That comes up later, what it was.
Okay.
Because basically, next day, they get up, Tasha's going to work, she can't find her phone, yeah. Rosa says, I'll look for it for you. I'll lock up, whatever.
Right.
And then...
So in that moment, I thought that meant her phone got stolen.
No.
But her phone appears later in the movie.
Because she goes to the hospital. The prince's assistant is like, oh, did you get home all right? How was your night with Rosa? Like, she knew what was going on.
Yeah, and I didn't figure out how they knew.
You knew.
Okay. Because it'll come
up. It's going to come
up. So then, yeah. So then, so then, of course, Santa walks up, which is the brother. The personal assistant doesn't know who he is, so she kicks his ass. And then...
And at this moment, I literally said out loud to myself, I'm not exaggerating, I literally said to myself, I hate this film.
Wow.
Like drop kicking Santa. Ugh.
It's cruel. They're cruel. Cruel. Cancer kids, it's Santa.
But I wrote, they're going to fall in love. Ugh. Like she kicked it after falling in love.
So I'm going to have to watch this thing.
So then Tasha walks by when the king and the prince are arguing over Skype. And she overhears what's going on, and...
Santa, by the way, was the brother. It was Jeffrey.
Yeah, Santa was Jeffrey. And the king is threatening the prince with, if you don't improve your mood, you're not coming to my Christmas dinner, my Christmas charity dinner. Tanya gets busted listening.
Eavesdropping.
And then they
she
talk
says
about...
Weird. Yeah, she says, like, fathers can be terrible. Well, I mean, yours, not mine.
Right.
So that was weird.
And so then she asks him to come with her on rounds because he's bored. And she's pushing him in a wheelchair. And this is where we find out what happened with the thing on the table. Because he asks her, do you have a crush on me? And she's like, what? And then he plays. So the table, it was a bugging device. And so he played what she said she was saying at the dinner table.
Even then, I got that maybe it was a bugging device, but did they actually show the device getting planted? Like, that wasn't clear to me at all.
Yeah, no. I Because, yeah, they didn't show it getting planted, but he had, like, the entire conversation. So he was listening to it.
So this Hallmark movie involves, like, illegally surveilling people.
Right.
This is dark. Well, and, like, moving cancer patient kids around.
Right.
I don't know what woman, anyone, who would be okay with this if I started playing with them a recording of something that happened to them last night.
Like, she didn't even react to it.
She doesn't have a problem with it. She actually apologizes. She feels bad that she was spied on.
Right. Which I was like, if the relationship starts out like this, then it only can go south from there.
It was just girl talk, she said.
Right. Which it's like, thanks for eavesdropping on my conversation and totally, like, you know, invading my privacy.
I also understand you were eating bread past 7 o'clock. That's not acceptable either.
That is true.
she was eating a croissant. Here's that candy striper.
Jeff is there. Jeff, the brother.
The
candy striper walks up and she's all giggly, like, "Do you want me to take something to Fritz?"
First, I thought she had the hots for Jeff.
Right.
No, she was after the prince.
No, she was gold digging. And so then the assistant comes up and gives Jeff a cup of tea to apologize, and then they start talking about coffee, and she's like saying coffee's disgusting or something. So there's that banter. And then this next line was something that I thought was very forward and racy for a Hallmark movie.
Right, I know what it is.
Because, he asks her, "What's your deal? Boyfriend? Girlfriend? Married?"
Oh.
I thought, Hallmark, getting a little racy here.
Well, also, earlier, after she drop-kicked him, he said something along the lines of, "Is it bad that I'm more attracted to her now?"
Right?
Hmm. Didn't think of that. That's also kind of risque.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, that part, though, I was kind of like, with the after she was violent to him.
Yeah.
I was kind of like, Hallmark, I don't think this is a good idea right now.
That's not the moment I made the face, though. That is not happening.
No.
Oh, and so then she says, "I am married to my job."
Oh, and they made some sort of crack about her pinning him to the ground, and he made a joke about that being second base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a horny Hallmark movie.
I guess Hallmark is like, we need to jazz this up a little bit. You know,
second base, huh?
So then, the prince and Tasha are like, you know, going through the halls, and then we go to the room where the kids are like recovering from chemo, like they've had their chemo treatments, and now they're like recovering from it, and So the prince, like, she goes to talk to the kids, and at first the prince is, like, skittish about it. But then he goes and he talks, this little boy passes and says something to him, and then he goes and talks to this little boy. And he's being nice to the little boy, and the little boy is saying that he's listening to songs. He and his mom have a playlist, and she's working, so she can't make it to his chemo. But they listen to a special song while he's getting his chemo. They both listen to it on
like
there.
It's like the same playlist at the same time, so it's like she's there with him. It's actually a very nice gesture, yeah.
But he claims this is his favorite music, then like the prince starts listening to it, and it's like it's a Christmas song.
Says,
it's a Jingle Bells or
something.
Oh,
this is my favorite artist, Genevieve Fisher. And I was I'm kind of a music idiot savant, and I've never heard of this person, so I had to go look.
Yeah, I've never heard of her either.
Who she is? She's a Canadian country singer. Like, she's had some hits in Canada.
I figured she's a country.
Yeah, but right. She clearly helped them get funding for this tax credits in Canada for hiring another Canadian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Genevieve.
Yep.
But I'm like, what kid? I'm like, so this is the kid's favorite song, this Christmas music. Kids love that. Mm-hmm. Is that what they were playing at the VMAs last night?
It'd be like if you had an 8-year old that was going through cancer treatments, and the 8 year old's like, I love Barbara Streisand. Like, no 8-year old kid is listening to Barbara Streisand.
Then you let them listen to Barbara Streisand, I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
So then this part, I'm kind of hating on the movie. I'm kind of hating on it a little bit. And then Hallmark does the little kid's like, am I going to be in the hospital for Christmas? And then I'm like, oh, knife in the heart. Like, just like, ugh. Because, you know, anytime a little kid's in the hospital for Christmas, that's heartbreaking to me.
Yeah, so like, maybe you shouldn't move them out of their sick beds to accommodate this jackhole prince.
Right.
He said he was in a kid's bed at one point. He said he was in a child's bed.
Yeah,
he was. Maybe he was kidding. He was in a child's bed.
All right. They showed him in the bed.
Big guy.
Yeah,
big guys. That child's bed. They could bring in it. They could bring in a regular size bed.
Then he gets a little too comfortable.
I can't tell people how to do the job.
He gets a little
oh, really?
Too comfortable.
What do you do?
Because they're playing Truth or Dare. Playing Truth or Dare with the kids.
Yeah, that was shocking. When I was in college, I suggested playing Truth or Dare, and someone said, "No, bad things happen." And now years later, I'm watching this. I never even got to play.
Well, to be honest, Kurt, I've never had a game of Truth or Dare that ended well. It never ends well. Jason?
I don't know. I don't feel like I've had ones that ended terribly. Like, no, like, fist fights.
Right. Because they've ended with arguments. A lot of them.
Well, if you're playing Truth or Dare and people are drinking, I know you don't drink, but other people drink, you know, that can get a little awkward, I guess.
But this was back when I was drinking. Okay. So
getting arguments.
Yeah.
Got it.
Oh, boy.
So then we see the assistant, and she's like fighting with this little girl, and she has like a box of the little girl's toys. And they're moving the kids out of their rooms.
They still want to do it. They got to get rid of those kids.
Well, so why is the assistant, like, okay, the hospital signs off on this. Why is the assistant allowed to do this?
Right. Seriously.
Got to do something.
And so, meanwhile, the candy striper comes in, and the candy striper's making moves on him.
He sees through her. She's like a transparent plate.
Yeah. And then he steps up, and he's pissed about the kids being moved, as he should be. And the assistant is yelling at him, which how could she keep her job talking to him that way? That's insubordination.
Because she doesn't work for him. She works for the king.
Okay.
Right.
Then we find out that, like, the kids are being moved, but we find out that Dr. Gonzalez has no problem.
Yeah. Did you hear what Dr. Gonzalez said? Someone said something about Christmas, and she said, "We say happy holidays."
Happy holidays. Yes. I caught that.
I groaned at that line, too. Because that was clearly the more conservative bent of Hallmark, kind of, you know, giving an FU to anyone that feels like, hey, I'll say happy holidays to include everyone.
Right.
Holy.
And then Tasha is not happy about this.
No. No.
Well, Dr. Gonzalez says I've looked at all their cases, it'll be fine. And Tasha says, fine doesn't cut it when you're running a hospital.
And then Dr. Gonzalez throws shade and says, oh, congratulations, you're running a hospital now. Go home.
You're fired. You're no longer a doctor.
She sent her home.
No longer. That's right. Get out.
And now this next part, I think Tasha was out of line. Because she goes and she yells at the prince. And he was, like, actually on the kid's side, and he was trying to stop them, too. He was pissed when they were moving the kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she called him self-centered. Like, he didn't cause that to happen.
Spoiled.
Right.
No. And leave that prince alone.
So then she gets home. She's looking for her phone. Jeff comes over. He calls her phone, and her phone's in a plant. So I guess she was drinking, because how else would your phone end up in a plant?
But that whole plot line of her losing her phone, looking for her phone, and then finding it in the plant, like, it had nothing to do with anything in the movie. It wasn't necessary.
No. I wouldn't even call it a plot line. I don't know what it was. What I liked about the scene is that she's drinking wine, but she's like not really drinking it. She's kind of like sipping it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the brother kind of like actually calls this out when he's leaving. He's like, "Thanks for the sip of beer." And I actually chuckled a little bit at that line.
I thought it was funny because he just like pops in. Like, she didn't know he was coming over. He pops in and like helps her find her phone. They sit down and they're having this conversation while he's got a beer and she's got her wine. They never went to the kitchen to get a beer. So the beer was already sitting out waiting for him.
Right. So basically, here, have some warm beer, bro.
Do you have anybody? Is there anybody you guys know who pops in unannounced? I don't have anybody like that.
Well, it is her brother, though.
Yeah, but I was just curious. That was just kind of freaking me out. I said, that'd be weird if someone was just popping.
I hate when people pop in at my home. I hate it.
Right.
I also hate, like, and I entertain here a lot. I hate when people show up early. I'm like, I give a start time because I'm not going to be ready or home until that time.
Right. Yeah, I do hate when people show up early, too. Like, it's like 7 o'clock, and they show up at 6:55, and it's like, I'm just getting out of the shower.
Yeah.
You know?
But I've had people show up, like, half an hour, 45 minutes early. Oh, I thought I'd help you set up. I'm like, well, you're slowing me down now, because now I have to entertain you.
Right. Go away. Yeah. Come back in an hour.
Yeah. Off my soapbox.
Okay. Oh,
so then, we find out Dr. Gonzalez was going to fire her.
Mm.
But someone stepped in and saved her job.
It never made it to the board.
Nope. So then Tosh is in the elevator with the candy striper and the other nurse.
Some other woman. Yeah.
And then the candy striper is asking her, so how is your problem? And then the candy striper was like, after she left the elevator, she said she's not fooling anybody. So the candy striper's getting jealous.
The elevator door was clunky. Do you think that was a real elevator or was that a set?
I think it was a set.
I hope so. I don't like elevators.
So then the kids are all like in outfits, like butterflies and, you know,
it's like onesies pilot and stuff. Yeah.
Right. And then the little kids, because what I love about little kids is little kids are nosy. The little kids eavesdrop a lot. So the little kids told Tasha that the prince yelled at everybody. And then they got their rooms back.
Okay.
And then, we find out this is a prince and princess party.
Hmm.
And then Jeff is flirting with the mean assistant. And then the kids are being nosy and asking questions.
Being nosy.
And then they sign his cast. And then Tasha apologizes. And then I had to leave the room for a second. So what happened?
Well, first of all, so the woman's name is Tasha, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that her name? So Tasha's she's now,
the main one. Yeah.
Like completely. Yeah, so she's like completely won over now by the prince. She says, the man who is here now is pleasant, kind, and thoughtful. And then they re-meet. They shake hands again. It's a new beginning.
So then, okay, did you guys get the feeling that the movie was wrapping up at this point?
I was hoping.
Absolutely.
But I knew there was more to go.
Doctor, Oh, yeah, I knew. Because I looked, well, because as I was watching it, it seemed like it was wrapping up, and then I looked at the time thing, and I'm like, oh, God, I've got, like, a long way to go.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Gonzalez comes up, and Dr. Gonzalez is like, thank you for yelling at me.
That happens there?
Yeah. And then, like, Dr. Gonzalez apologizes. And
no,
then
the no, there's more stuff.
No, yeah, you that's, missed. So there was a whole while. Scene here that was, like, missing.
Yeah,
yeah. It was on Hallmark, but the audio cut out for an entire scene on YouTube.
Wait, here's what happens. I got it. So they have this whole thing where they re-meet, and Nurse Jeff was filming them without their permission.
Oh.
So that happens. Then there's like a montage going on, and that's when there's no sound. But it's not the kind of montage you like, Les.
Okay.
You missed all this.
So there were
okay,
no
so then, now, then the boy is scared because he's going to have surgery, okay, and the prince comes to see him. Now, this is the boy. His mom works all the time, so she can't. So that's why they have the music they listen to at 11 a.m. every day, the Christmas music. But the prince apparently paid the mom her day wages, and she's able to come in.
Well, they never even say that, do they? Yeah. She just shows up.
But I have to assume that's how she's able to miss work.
I assumed the same thing. I just thought it was really funny that they never explained like why now she's able to come when before she couldn't because she had to work.
Nice,
you mean
though.
I just have to put in a time off request? That's all I needed to do?
Right.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to drive Lyft today, dear. I'll give you the
like,
money.
Like, the prince's greatest contribution is giving her the number to HR.
Right.
And then that singer comes in, Genevieve Fisher, and Genevieve Fisher enters. I wrote, barf. And then she says, if you live, I'll sing my song. Now, you know she's got some agent who's like, don't worry, kid's not going to live. You're not going to have to sing.
Right.
But a concert happened. You missed all this, Les.
Geez,
there's a concert. Genevieve Fisher is singing. Everybody is sitting around, whether you like it or not. They have to sit there. They can't go anywhere.
Singing to a group of kids in a hospital, singing Jingle Bells, a concert.
It's a little concert.
She's literally singing Jingle Bells. It wasn't even like an original song.
Some of the kids paid extra, so they got backstage access.
But some of those cancer patients did not have a wristband.
Right. So Genevieve Fisher. That happened. And then somebody's overwhelmed. I have someone's overwhelmed. Oh, this doctor won't what's her name? Sasha? Forget her name.
Oh, Tasha.
Tasha. Now I'm just overwhelmed. I'm so impressed with you. Uh-huh. And the boy is not a patient. A patient is a person who walks in without any arms and legs, and I have to find other arms and legs and sew them onto them so they'll live. This is not a patient. And then she just starts crying.
Aww.
Well, she also says to Alex, and this is the moment. This is...
Okay.
So as they're talking about these kids and all that they go through, Alex says to Tasha, and this again, look at Instagram, Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast, look at my face. He says to her, "They're stronger than us, baby."
Baby?
He said baby. And they weren't a couple at this point.
Baby.
It was so creepy.
I wish we could get
gross. Ugh.
I wish we had a record of the expression on your face when you just told us that.
It was revolting and unnecessary. And I am all for like cute PDAs in this movie, but in these movies, but they had not earned that. That he's supposed to be this refined prince. He's like, hey baby.
Right.
Hey baby. Work with what you got.
Stronger than us.
Hey baby, they're stronger than us.
Hey baby. They're stronger than
us. Cheeks that, hey, sweet cheeks, they're stronger than us.
it's almost like the writers got dared by one of their friends. Like, all right, I've got a line of dialogue, and if you put it in, I will donate $20,000 to your charity of choice. Here's the line.
Damn.
They're stronger than us, baby.
This movie, It said this movie's based on a novel.
What is it?
It said at the beginning of the opening credits. What novel is this? I don't think I want to read it.
Just
maybe we should.
Written a book doesn't mean the book is good.
We'll do a book review.
No, it does not.
Or just because a movie is based on the book doesn't mean the adaptation is good.
Right.
It's possible. Right. Both are not good.
Maybe we'll order that book.
I guess.
I don't know.
So then is this where Dr. Gonzalez showed up?
I think so. Oh, well, first the elevator. That stupid thing happens again.
Right.
This time, though, she stops the elevator from closing. They're yapping about her, and she hears them, and she opens. She stops the elevator door. She runs back, stops the elevator door, and says, "You have a Merry Christmas."
Now, there you go.
Dr. Gonzalez is back to apologize. Take it away.
Right. And then, so then Dr. Gonzalez, we find out, she gave Dr. Gonzalez a proposal. So Dr. Gonzalez resubmitted her proposal. So now Dr. Gonzalez loves her. And so then the prince is saying his goodbyes. And the little boy gives the prince a present. It's a mixed CD, right?
Yeah.
And then the little girl who asked him if he died, could she have his crown? She gives him a picture. And then,
honest question, the little boy that gave him the CD is how old? Maybe 10?
Yeah.
If that. Does, I'm not being a smartass here, does a 10-year-old in 2019 know what a CD is?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yes. I guess. I don't know if they use them.
Because CDs are obsolete now, kind
of. Yeah, like they might know what it is conceptually, but who's got a CD burner in their computer anymore?
Right.
Well, that's a recent thing. So I know what an 8-track tape is. Don't they still sell CDs at, like, Best Buy? Don't they actually still
have
them? Yeah.
They're relegated to, like, one aisle now.
Yeah.
So they still exist.
Because you do streaming.
Yeah.
If I know they're on the way. Yeah, I'll stop by tomorrow and get my Kenny Rogers Greatest Hits.
Better get it.
I know that they're on their way out.
Better get it.
I gotta know how to hold them. All right.
And so then the prince invites Tasha to go to dinner. Or to go to the party. To go to the party.
What? Yeah, no, it's a big
thing. Yeah. They don't even plant the seed about the big event of the movie until the end of the movie.
But then this is where I thought that they ended the movie and then got notes like, no, you're not done yet.
Right.
Because she's going to the ball, they kiss.
They kiss. That's what I wrote. This can end now.
Jeff gives the assistant a present. But then dun da da da.
Hey, the present is the Coffee of the Month Club. I just want to say that because I like that idea. So if any fans out there want to get me a present.
Wait, back up before we get to Jeff and Bella. So they don't just kiss. There was like a full-on kiss. They're making out in front of these kids after he says, "I'm in love with you."
Right.
To this
tangling
woman that he never dated, even in the past.
Uh-huh.
Everything about this relationship is flawed.
No, I didn't hear.
It's like making out with somebody you just met at a bar. Yeah.
Now, did the kids go? Ooh?
No, they didn't even realistically do that.
No. Were they there? They
yes.
saw this.
Yes, it was the children's ward.
Kids. Oh, they were making out in front of the kids.
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
This is problematic.
Very.
These kids.
So then Tasha gets a call. She heads out to take her call, and then this woman shows up. And she's kind of fabulous looking.
Oh, yeah?
And she's like, "I'm here to see my fiancé." And then...
Well, I like the doctor woman more. Okay.
And then Tasha... So then we find out that he's engaged.
I wrote, thank goodness a plot point was needed to keep this train wreck moving.
Right. So then Tasha storms out.
But what you didn't realize is that if it's a train wreck, it's not moving.
No, it's not.
Tasha.
Yeah, she takes the elevator. Yeah. Takes the elevator. He takes the steps, and he's got a broken leg, but he still catches up with her. So it must have been a slow elevator.
Right. And then coming up is a sign that I must have really hated this movie.
Oh,
because
you fell asleep?
No. Because first of all, so she's, you know, they talk it out. She agrees to go. Before that, they talk it out. We find out with the exposition that actually Bella was his brother's fiance.
Yeah.
So I guess she's really gold digging because she's like, okay, so if the brother dies, I guess I'll just marry the other one.
No, wait, Bella or is her name Miranda?
Miranda. Bella is the assistant.
I must have hated this movie because she's doing her makeup, right?
Yep.
A box with a dress shows up, right? This is the perfect time for a makeover montage, right?
Mm.
The makeover montage didn't happen, and I didn't care.
Wow.
I really must have not liked this movie. Mm.
Wow.
I didn't even care.
No, we wanted it, yeah.
I loathe this Hallmark movie trope of the guy sending the woman the dress. I realize that on paper it probably sounds like, that's a nice gesture, he got her a gift. But to me it always comes off as, I know how I want you to dress.
Right.
I'm going to tell you how to do it.
She'll be wearing.
Yeah.
Now,
you're
how
wearing
would you,
aluminum foil.
Now, how
would
send you
a
feel?
Woman a dress.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead. How would you feel if someone sent me a dress?
How would you feel, though, if he said, we're going to take you shopping, and then she goes shopping with
him? If she wants to and she gets to choose, sure. If she's like, no, I'm good, I have a dress, and he says, okay, you wear what you want, or not even a dress. Maybe she wants to wear a pantsuit. I don't care.
And I don't know about you guys, but I didn't like the dress.
The dress was hideous.
I did not
like
it.
I don't know anything about dresses.
Well,
I don't know
anything
about dresses. That's why I would send someone a dress.
But it was like a short skirt, but it had a train. And then she had like a mini coat, but it was like snowing outside.
It was not the kind of – my problem wasn't even that the dress was ugly, although that was a problem. It was that it was super inappropriate for that event.
Right.
It was like something that a starlet would wear on the red carpet.
Oh, yeah. I would see that at, like, I'd see that dress at the VMA.
Yeah. That was very VMAs and not Oscar-y.
Like
you probably
Lil
wouldn't
Kim,
wear that to the Oscars.
Like, Lil' Kim would be wearing it or something.
Yeah. It was trashy.
Yeah. And then the coat, and it was like a mini coat, and it's like, okay, it's winter. It's, you know, you're...
Oh, trashy.
Oh,
she's leg warmers.
We're at the party. We're at the party, and then the fiancé shows up, and she has, like, a weird veil on her head.
Mm-hmm.
And so then this is when she's the fiancé's kind of shady, and so she goes up to him, and they start speaking, which, like I said, I think it's Russian, because they were saying spasiba, but we don't know.
And she was full-on hitting on him in front of Tasha in this other language.
Right.
And
then Tasha breaks into the other language.
Yeah, I did like that moment. I will concede that I enjoyed that moment. Because Tasha called her out in her own language.
So then the king gives a speech, and then
Oh, you know what? Miranda also said, I think I've got this right. Yeah. Didn't she say, like, who designed your dress?
Yeah,
she insulted her dress.
She insulted the dress, and I was like, yes, oh, we're supposed to hate it. And then Tasha basically said, oh, that Alexander bought it for her.
Right.
So, not the right answer.
The king's giving a speech. Then he throws shade at Alex.
Short speech. It was just an insult to Alex. That was it. Yeah.
And then, but you know what I noticed? Did you guys notice that the fiance actually gave the king a look?
I think that there was two different scripts here that they combined into one, and there was probably a lot more subtext and a lot more interesting things going on in the script, but in order to sanitize it for Hallmark, they took a lot out, and then a lot of the things that happen in the movie don't make sense anymore.
Okay. Because she kind of, I thought she gave the king a look like, you're next.
Yeah, I kind of felt like something was going on there, too.
Yeah, why not go after the king?
Right. He was like a handsome older gentleman. Like, he wasn't bad.
Well, if you're a gold digger, I mean, go after the king, not the prince.
Go after right. the actual gold, yeah.
Right. So then the prince is talking to Mr. Sheffield, the king, and he tells Mr. Sheffield that I want to start my own charity. Woo! That's a revelation.
Yay.
And then, so then Tasha overhears these two women just shading the crap out of her. They are just raking her over the coals.
Yeah.
And then the fiance comes up, and then she's being a bitch too. And like, she's like, you'll never fit in. You're just an American. Look around at these people, and there's no one like you. Get out.
Tasha says, I see a bunch of people who are lucky they were born into wealth. I earned who I am.
Right.
I thought she'd make an effort and try to pick someone, because she said, like, pick someone from this room who is like you. I thought she was going to try to actually pick somebody. She says, not even the help. They are even above you.
See, and I felt like she could have pointed and said, everyone. We all right. feel uncomfortable yeah. here. We're all uncomfortable in this world.
We're all.
Oh, that would have been good.
I know.
You would have won then, because I would have just picked. I just would have pointed at somebody and said, "That guy's a little bit like me."
You see, I've watched too many soap operas. I would just like, if I was Tasha, I'd like throw a glass of champagne in her face.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all have different approaches.
Right.
Clearly.
I watched a lot of Dynasty in my younger days. So then this is where I noticed, though, Tasha's storming out, and I noticed the hot security guard, Roger.
Yeah. Like, thanks for waiting till the end of the movie to bring him into things.
Because he was very hot, Roger.
He was cute, too.
So then the king... Oh, so then, yeah, so Roger stops her, and... He's like, I can't let you go. And then the king shows up. And then the king, like, gives her a pep talk. And he's like, I'm the one that saved your job.
Yeah.
Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, and then something like, he's like, who I find, I don't find people who are born into this exceptional. He says, I find the people who I find exceptional are the people who break in. And I wrote, like, former Hallmark movie star Meghan Markle. Mm-hmm. And so then he's like, you know, basically like, go back in there, buck up, sister, and go back in there and show them what you got.
See, and I didn't like that line of dialogue. I understood the sentiment behind it, but I felt like, I don't aspire to be these people. I don't want to.
Right.
I don't want. Why would I try and break into this a-hole lifestyle?
You don't have to. You have to go to how many of these events? You got a couple events a year. You hang out with the prince who you like, and that's it.
But then again, I love a good event and a good step and repeat.
Well, yeah, that's fun.
So then he sends her in, and then he goes. He says, "Roger, I want to go for a cheeseburger."
He's like Cardi B.
Yeah.
Right. He's totally like Cardi.
No, he's like Black China. He's like Black China. You know, I China. Want a pizza.
My chicken fingers. I was confusing Cardi B with Black China, yeah.
My chicken fingers and my pizza.
Yeah. See?
So then Tasha comes back. Tasha comes back in, and this line is something that I would say. I will tell you to your face. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And then they dance. And then... Then they're back at the hospital. The security guard's left there to pack all the bags. She doesn't get to go to the ball. But then Jeff comes in, and then the security guard and Jeff dance.
That's weird.
And then I had no idea this was going to be a televised event, but I guess it was.
Yeah, I thought that was weird, too.
Yeah.
This is like
what channel?
This family dinner party, the entire thing is being broadcast live like it's a reality show.
Yeah. So then.
Well, maybe.
Because all the kids at the hospital are watching it.
Yeah, they're all watching. So it's got some ratings. Maybe it's like C-SPAN. Is that still around where they would just show the Senate 24 hours a day?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. They've got their own like surveillance camera on them all the time. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very weird.
Or like the NASA channel.
It's like the NASA channel, right, yeah.
So then your friend, the candy striper, is crying because she's upset.
Yes, and this is a very, very provocative scene because she's sitting next to an Asian man who he's the father of one of the cancer children. And he gets a little frisky with her. Like he comforts her.
But I thought she got frisky with him.
Maybe that was it.
I missed that, but I checked out completely because I knew the movie was over. Ugh.
Because I was like, okay, so she's hitting on this guy. How does he?
Right.
How does she know that this guy isn't married?
She doesn't care anymore.
They're visiting his daughter.
Yeah, I know. Very provocative.
So then, Tasha tells the prince, "I'm not quitting my job. Just so you know." And then he says, "Oh well, good. I don't want you to quit your job because then you can work for my new charity. Woo!" And then they kiss, and then it ended. And then I was like, good, because I want to watch Halston on CNN.
Halston? I wrote, please end. And then I wrote, my wish came true.
And it ended. So
what do you want to watch? Halston? Houston?
Oh, Halston. It's a documentary on this fashion designer, Halston. He was around in like the 70s. He's the one, okay, Kurt, he's the one that created Jackie Kennedy's pillbox hat.
Oh, okay.
But he did not create the hideous dress in this movie.
No, he did not.
Okay. Noted.
No.
He did not.
Noted.
So I guess we're in I love it whenever we don't like a movie, we shoot through the podcast.
Thank you.
Sometimes we go off on like a lot of tangents because we are trying to avoid even talking about how bad the movie is.
Yeah.
But the sign that this movie was bad, if I don't care whether you have a makeover montage or not, you know I'm really not liking it.
I hated this movie. I don't think I've been hiding my dislike, but I genuinely hated this movie.
Is this in your top 10?
This is now my least favorite movie that we've watched. Beating out Santa's Boots.
I don't know.
Wow.
It's definitely one of the worst ones I've seen in a while. I don't know if it's my least, but no, it's down there.
Elevator Girl is still one of my, like, it's Elevator Girl, and then there's another one that I think we all just hate it.
Elevator Girl, that was this before I was on the podcast, and I kind of want to see it just because I wanted to know why it's so bad, but also if it's that bad, I don't want to see it.
Maybe we should watch it again. Right. I resent the fact they use these cancer kids, too. It's kind of like, because it's like, oh, I feel bad for this. It's like you're watching, it's like, I feel bad for ragging on a movie with these poor kids.
This is my feeling on it is that, you know, you put something like that in the movie to garner sympathy. It's, you know, it's a bit manipulative. Fine. Like these movies tend to be a little bit. But if you're going to do that, then you can't also play the other side of that fence and have them be used as like, you know, a comedy set piece of like, oh, we're just going to move these sick kids around. Like,
And to be honest, I actually found the little kids entertaining.
I did too.
That sassy little girl, she was fun.
Yeah.
Because I liked the part where she was dressed like a butterfly and in her hat, because all the little cancer kids wore hats, and I liked where she was dressed like the butterfly and had like the antenna coming out of her hat. Mm-hmm. Okay, so wow, so this is down there with like one of the worst.
Terrible.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it's one of the worst too, just because they added those kids. I think that was unfair.
So Kurt, are you going anywhere? For
Labor Day? I don't know. I might go to Brigantine, New Jersey, but we'll see.
Ah. So this is gonna be a good, you know, it's gonna be an interesting weekend. Jason's going down south.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
New Orleans.
I'm going up north to the Great White North, Canada.
Going north to Halifax.
So I guess the next time we talk, we'll have a lot to touch base on.
Yeah, we'll be doing a Lifetime movie on the next one.
Yes, we'll be doing a Lifetime movie, and then, you know, I got to figure out one to watch. Mm-hmm. But that's it. So if you would like to get a hold of us, you can always find us at on Facebook, A Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast, or on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast, or you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett. Jason?
Also, don't forget to rate and review us 5 stars, please, on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on, because it does seem like more people are finding us now, so the more 5-star reviews we have, the higher we show up in rankings, the more that helps us, so we can start doing more cool things with this podcast. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Big Shot Jason. Kurt?
I'm not on anything, so I'll use my time to congratulate Eddie Murphy on his big comeback he's making. Netflix has, I believe they have, I don't want to say they've purchased Eddie Murphy, but they are reviving. They haven't purchased it. I can't say that. Doesn't sound right. So they are reviving Eddie Murphy for 2019 and moving forward. So I'm excited about that.
And what's your social media?
Oh, I didn't give that. Well, I don't really have one, but I guess.
See, you literally every week say you don't have one and then give one.
I use my time to congratulate Eddie Murphy. I'm excited.
Right. Thank you.
I don't want to get
congratulations,
greedy.
Eddie Murphy.
Yeah.
Oh, and if you're in Canada, I will be at the Halifax Fringe Festival, which starts on the 29th of August and goes until the 8th. And you can find that on halifaxfringe.com.
I think you mean September, not August.
Oh, September. Did I say August?
Yeah. So what are the dates again? When?
August 28th.
No. Oh, it is? Okay, never mind.
August 28th.
Okay, I misread you. Sorry.
August 28th through September. September 8th.
Wesley Snipes is making a comeback, too. He's on the heels of the Eddie Murphy comeback.
What's Wesley Snipes doing?
Paying his taxes.
He is in... No, listen. He's in... Eddie Murphy's coming back with a Dolomite movie. Wesley Snipes is in it. Eddie Murphy's in Coming to America 2. Wesley Snipes is in it.
Oh.
He's in both movies with Eddie Murphy.
How does Arsenio feel about that?
Friend to break.
How does Arsenio Hall feel about that?
Arsenio Hall is in Coming to America.
He is, but like, didn't sequel. Arsenio and Eddie, they were like best friends and they would be in everything together for a while?
Yeah.
Well, I think he was lucky not to be in The Adventures of Pluto Nash, so I think it worked out.
I gotta tell you though, Coming to America, I think, is one of my favorite movies of all time. So,
me too.
I hope number 2 lives up. And they waited how long? Like 20 years? 25 years?
It's like 30 years now.
Okay, so...
Yeah, it was 1988, I think. Yeah.
So they've had time to let it, like, sit a bit. Because you know how sometimes sequels are too soon?
Well, I feel like there's an area between too soon and way too long that is healthier than this. So I fear that this is like they're just trying to beat a dead horse. As opposed to, like, they have a really inspiring idea which is going to make this funny and worth reviving this.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good.
And I think the only
Netflix
way...
Netflix doesn't purchase anyone. I just have to say, Netflix doesn't purchase anyone. No, they're getting a deal.
They signed a very lucrative deal with Eddie where he's going to be doing stand-up specials again. He's doing a movie for them. He's hosting Saturday Night Live in December, the first time he's been a host on that show in 35 years.
Wow.
Well, he also did a podcast that's associated with Netflix. I didn't even know they had podcasts. And he was on the Jerry Seinfeld Comedians in Cars with Coffee. That was a Netflix thing.
Yeah.
Please don't be offended if I said someone's purchasing somebody. They're not purchasing.
No, it's not offensive. I didn't mean it that way.
Sure.
But yeah, I think the only way that Coming to America 2 is going to work is if everybody from the movie is back.
I think they are.
I think they are.
Yeah.
I think
James Earl Jones is back. The woman that plays the wife is back. I think they're all back.
I guess Don Amici isn't back. He had a small part.
Well, true. I guess can't have everybody back.
They really hit it. It was a great scene in the movie.
Since you're doing podcasts, Eddie Murphy, if you ever want to come on a Lifetime of Hallmark, we'd be happy to have you.
Oh, could you imagine? He's not going to
do
it. Not
after Kurt's Pluto Nash dig, he's not coming on here.
Well, sorry. I did watch it, but geez, it's not funny. It's really.
Well, if he comes on, Kurt, you better apologize.
Yeah.
No, a couple movies probably shouldn't have been made. Okay, one thing. I was Charlie Murphy's cellmate in the show Power, but I think I've said that before. Okay. On the show.
Anyway, gentlemen, I got to get going because I got to go pack for tomorrow.
All right, we'll have a safe trip and a very happy free.
And thank you, and happy Labor Day, everybody.
Happy Labor Day.
Can't wear white after, remember.
We'll see about that.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.